Welcome everybody. Let me ask all of you to go inside and to find out the force that has brought you to here tonight. And to find out the thought or even the aspiration that motivates you to come here tonight. Your intention that invite you to be here tonight. You may discover that the thought that brought you here is a spiritual impulse. It's a deep longing, and that is perhaps much bigger than any other passion or desires that you have in your ordinary life. We have a passion and longing for many illusions, circumstances in this life. We have all forms of desire, and usually our desire changes and our longing changes, but this one never changes. So it is the longing of the longing, the passion of the passion, the desire of the desire. And this longing will lead you to the liberation sooner or later. And many mystics in the various traditions felt this deep longing. And such longing led many men and women to the absolute freedom. And many ancient mystics talked about the divine love. It's a form of love, but love without any object. So it cannot be compared with any ordinary love. The ordinary love have an object. The ordinary love and passion are temporary and transient in themselves. So the divine love is your love of liberation, your love of connecting with source within you, and it is your longing to be one with the infinite. So therefore, and there is so much spirituality. A very famous spiritual teacher said that the human beings should not try to become spiritual beings. Spiritual beings should try to become human beings. It's a very wise statement. It means that there's already spirituality in each of us. Human beings are already spiritual because this longing is your desire to become free, to become one with the infinite, with the emptiness, or with the eternal Buddha, with the truth itself. But sometimes this longing is very much shut down. And especially when we are lost in our thoughts and ordinary desires, there's nothing wrong with acquiring ordinary desires. There's nothing wrong with having ordinary passion. But the problem is that we are very much lost in the swamp of ordinary desire, ordinary passion, wanting this and that, desiring for illusions, perfect illusions, and brief illusions that might be health, longevity, relationship, success, comfort, and psychological security. So, when we are lost in those ordinary desire and longing, and then this spiritual impulse, this transcendent longing is completely ignored and becomes silent. When you go into the high mountains during the winter, and there is a river flowing, but you don't see the river because it is covered by the ice. And yet, if you walk and put your ear very close to the ice, you may hear a sound of steam flowing. So this spiritual longing, this divine love is sometimes like the steam flowing under the cold ice. It's there, but we don't hear it most of the time. Because there's so much noise happening in our consciousness. From morning to the evening, this consciousness is filled with neurotic commotions. I want this. I want that. I want a cup of coffee. I want a piece of chocolate. I want ice cream. I want comfort. I don't want this. I hate that and this. I want to be happy. I want everybody to be nice to me. And I want to get everything that I'm desiring. So this mind is completely taken over by whole force of noise, thoughts, negative memories of the past, fear of the future, judgment, paranoia, hatred, aggression. So this divine love is completely silenced. And yet, somehow there's enough crack on our consciousness through which that we hear this divine music, the sound of this deep longing. And this is perhaps the reason that why you're here tonight. Please acknowledge that. So you are brought here by a very beautiful force. Your divine love is in working. Right now, it is blossoming. In your heart, there is such a pure intention to be free and to become one with the infinite, or to become big, or to become who you are, the true nature of who you are. And this is also called bodhicitta. in the Mahayana Buddhist tradition. So it's not really Buddhist then, even though Buddhism talked about it. So one has to know how to embrace the spirit of bodhicitta. If you really want to be free, then you must hold the spirit of bodhicitta in your heart. This is the only time I will tell you my way or highway. And usually my reputation is not being a very stubborn or demanding or dogmatic. I'm extremely easygoing as a Buddhist or as a spiritual teacher. So I don't even like the use of have to and should. So that's not my language most of the time. Of course, many of you have been attending to my talks and teachings. You may notice that I don't use so much these words, have to and should. But this one I have to say, my way or highway. And I do not care whether you want to be Buddhist or Christian or Hindu. That's not my business. I do not care whether you want to wear holy robes or shave your head or grow your hair long. And none of these are my business. But I must beg you to go inside and embrace this spirit of bodhicitta, which is your design to be awakened. And bodhicitta is already blossoming inside you. All I did was to ask you to turn your attention inside and acknowledging that miracle is already blossoming right now in your heart. This is what I feel and this is what I see in this very moment. So the bodhicitta is not a Buddhist thing. It's not a Hindu thing. It is perhaps the noblest a human impulse that we can experience. So honor it and acknowledge it. And when we embrace this spirit of bodhicitta, and then we began to walk on this path, the spiritual path, or the Dharma. And when you get to the heart of the path becomes a more and more pathless path. And also you begin to realize the very wisdom that the Buddha was trying to express. In the Buddhist tradition, we are encouraged to realize and to also feel the Four Noble Truths. So let me recite this line, and that is found in almost every Buddhist sutras. The line goes, one must know the suffering. One must transcend the root of suffering. One must realize the nirvana, and one must enter the path. So on the path, we have no choice except to realize and feel the truth of suffering. So there is an individual suffering, as well as also there's a collective suffering. And if you really want to be free and become awakened, and then once again your choice is to open your heart and to explore the human suffering. And you'd not be afraid of exploring the human suffering as long as you know how to continue embracing the bodhicitta as your divine love. You will have so much courage and so much readiness to feel and discover and to dive into the human suffering. Here, I'm not speaking of your personal suffering, but I'm speaking of the human suffering, the collective suffering, the suffering of our ancestors, suffering of your parents, the pain of your mother, the agony of your father and your relatives, your children, as well as the future generation. And sometimes when you feel this tension in your body and pain in your heart, you're not actually experiencing your own suffering, but you are somehow tuning into the collective karma, the collective sorrow. I grew up in Tibet and fairly treated quite well, didn't suffer so much physically. And I remember that at one time I came across a Buddhist poem, and which says, there's so much suffering in the world that if you put together, if you can really translate the suffering into a form, then this earth would be too small to contain the human suffering. And I didn't understand what that is all about, because in my consciousness there wasn't so much suffering. And there was some discomfort, but I never felt this sense of the oceanic suffering, because my life was quite smooth. And my life began with lots of blessing and good fortune. But finally, I also come to this understanding that the spiritual path is all about really opening your heart and to embrace, of course, your own sorrow, but also suffering of the humanity. And that's why whenever you have a pain and discomfort in your heart and agony in your consciousness, do not take it personally. Do not take ownership over them instead, and realizing that you are simply being part of this human society, and without choice you are also experiencing the karma, the suffering of the entire humanity. So many things happened in human history: tragedy, war, and genocide, abuse. Even right now, perhaps in this world, there's so much misfortune happening. Something that we cannot ignore. In this very moment, perhaps 1,000 people are being abused. And millions of people are perhaps hungry. And if you hold the bodhicitta, the desire to wake up, and then allow yourself to feel the oceanic suffering, and without hiding behind defensiveness, and then transformation would happen, and healing would take place inside your heart. And usually, the ego is a form of a defensiveness. It's a form of armor, it's a psychological armor, and trying to protect itself, and trying to always ward off the awareness of the human sorrow, which is a very tricky as well as intelligent. Sometimes the ego uses even spiritual practice. And all these spiritual phenomena, or even meditation, sadhanas, as an armor to ward off this profound awareness, instead to make yourself vulnerable and open your heart, and to let go of all the illusory barricade that the mind set between you and the rest of the world and the rest of humanity. So spirituality can be sometimes very unconscious. Especially without bodhicitta, almost every form of spiritual practice is a form of unconscious. It's another way of maintaining the state of unconscious. Unconscious can be quite ecstatic as well as very blissful. Many years ago, I was flying from here to somewhere in the south, and was wearing a Buddhist robe, my usual red skirt. And then somebody sat next to me, this lady, noticed that I am a very unusual person, man in a red skirt. So I always used to draw everybody's attention. So she sat next to me and she asked me, who are you, or something like that. I may have told her I'm a Buddhist. I even don't remember what I told her. And then we started having this spiritual dialogue, and she started sharing her faith with me. And she told me that she follows a sect, a spiritual path. And she told me that her prophet is only infallible. All other prophets are wrong. And the path is the only true path. And she told me that she has a very loving community, as well as also good marriage. And she also told me that she's going to send me a bunch of books written by a prophet if I give her my address, which I did. And she was very happy and very nice. And person that you feel very much safe around her. And I looked into consciousness. All I saw is there was only unconscious. That's all I saw. And my bodhicitta started just blossoming inside me. I wanted to wake up. That's the only desire I had. I wanted to wake up. And I started asking her some questions. And I saw there was a discomfort on her facial expression. And the plane was already landing. I thought, oh, this is already too late to try to wake up. Let's enjoy her beautiful illusion. Because I don't want to spoil her life. I don't want to be responsible for her misery and the spiritual crisis. Because once the process begins, there's no turning back. And I won't be around her either. So she would be left alone with this very painful spiritual crisis. So I decided to shut up my mouth and told goodbye to her. And that's it. And so I let her continue enjoying her illusion, the illusion of comfort, and let her be in the state of unconscious. So many forms of spiritual practice is just another of maintaining the unconscious state. As a human being, we have been living in the unconscious state throughout centuries. Only few individuals become awakened, have the power, have the courage to arise above the unconscious. The unconscious world is what they call samsara. In the old days, very few people have the good fortune, the readiness to arise above the unconscious world. So few that these individuals become regarded as a spiritual prodigy, like Buddha, and they are called sometimes avatars. Of course, there are two avatars, and there are sometimes mischievous avatars too. But avatar means a very gifted individual, exalted human being. But avatar or Buddha, Vyadara simply means somebody who has the courage and the willingness to rise above the unconscious world. So this longing that I'm talking about is not only desire to wake up, but also your desire to wake up the entire world, the entire human society. And to do that, first we have to know how to open our heart and to feel the sorrow. And through feeling the sorrow of humanity, and then you feel that oneness with everybody, oneness with every human being on the planet, a oneness with your enemy, a oneness with your friends, strangers, or oneness with the people who caused harm to you. In that oneness, there's only love, there's only forgiveness, and there's only infinite compassion. So it's very important for us to go inside and to make sure that we are not just continuing this world of samsara, world of unconscious, and especially in the name of spirituality. But to truly know where we are going and not waste the heart of matter, and then being courageous and have willingness to give rise to the profound longing, this bodhicitta, this precious thought, your desire to wake up, your desire to wake up the entire world. And bodhicitta is very intrinsic to each of us. I wanted to remind of you that has nothing to do with Buddhism, even though this is the center message of Buddhism. I want to let everybody know that you don't have to wear a Buddhist badge in order to practice the spirit of bodhicitta. I read somewhere that there was a Buddhist master who came to West. As a matter of fact, I know some of his disciples. He passed away a long time ago. And whenever he have a new student, he used to tell them, don't ever identify being a Buddhist. In other words, he used to encourage them, do not call themselves as Buddhist. Of course, you can call Buddhist. You can wear the Buddhist badge. But this is not a Buddhist theory or Buddhist doctrine. This is a universal. This is the heart of all spiritual traditions. And there is a Tibetan Lama whose name is Kuna Lama Tenzin. He was a very humble man, and he lived in India later his life. He was a very humble man. He was born in the Kuna region in India, and he wanted to study Sanskrit, so he went to Varanasi and hung out with sadhus and learned how to speak Sanskrit. And he became later a spiritual mentor to many famous gurus and high lamas in Tibetan Buddhist tradition. And he wrote a poem, beautiful poem. It's called Hymns to the Bodhicitta, this profound longing. And he wrote a poem, a verse every day, a hymns to the Bodhicitta for entire year. So this poem has almost 300 verses. So in this poem he talked about the beauty, the wonder, the blessings of the Bodhicitta. And basically he said that if you have this, then you have everything. You don't have to worry about anything. You don't have to know anything if you have this. And if you don't have this, then you have nothing. And you may know everything. You might be able to recite all the scriptures, Bhagavad Gita, Yoga Sutras, Buddhist scriptures, and you know nothing. Almost by now, 18 years ago, I was walking in downtown Santa Cruz, and with this idea that I had a grand vision. My grand vision was that to teach Americans to tame all these barbarians. Because all the Tibetans told me, this is land of barbarians. So Tibetan Buddhists have a total projection of this land. And they see this land of barbarians. So I was very much indoctrinated by these Tibetan guides. And later I learned this is not land of barbarians. This is land of bodhisattvas. But I was for a while very much influenced by my Tibetan colleagues. And they told me that I have to teach Buddhism and to help these barbarians and to tame them. And then one day I was walking, I remember, downtown in Santa Cruz with this whole idea that I'm going to teach Buddhism and to help these people to tame these barbarians. And then a drunken man walked in front of me, was a little bit lost. And he said he wanted to talk with me. And then he started reciting quotations from Bhagavata Gita as well as Dharmapada, which completely humbled me. And I thought, if this crazy man can recite freely quotations from Bhagavata Gita and Dharmapada, what can I teach? I have nothing to teach. If this crazy guy is so wise and so knowledgeable, in this country, all the men and women must be evolved and already quite wise and enlightened. So what am I doing here? So the point I try to make is that you can memorize or you can know everything. All the spiritual teaching, sacred knowledge. You might be able to memorize all the Hindu scriptures or the Buddhist sutras, but if you don't know how to truly embrace the spiritual bodhicitta, then you know nothing. And then I know nothing. But if you simply know how to embrace this, and then you know everything without knowing anything. And that was his message. If I synthesize that beautiful poem, which has almost 300 verses, and I can recite that tonight, even we have time, and I don't remember any verse from that poem. But he was considered one of most beautiful teachers in last century in the Tibetan tradition, considered a living saint. And let me repeat his essential message. If you know this, and then you know everything. If you don't know this, then you know nothing. And the moment you have the readiness to give yourself into this spirit, in this awareness, this spiritual bodhicitta, and then all your defensiveness will fall apart. Everything, your psychological defensiveness, your spiritual defensiveness, everything just began to fall apart one after another. The bodhicitta is like fire. It burns everything inside your consciousness. There's a beautiful analogy in one of the Mahayana sutras says, the divine fire burns everything except the empty space. It doesn't burn empty space. The empty space is the metaphor of your true nature, who you are, your original face. That is an empty space. It's the infinite, it's the Brahman within you. It's the Buddha within you. It is the truth that we can never fully describe in the words, in the concepts. So the ineffable does not lie outside of yourself. The ineffable lies within you. The absolute, the greatness, and that we can never fully describe in the world because so big, because so infinite, does not lie outside but lie within you. How extraordinary it is. Do you know there is a truth that the words cannot describe? Because it intrinsically exalted and vast. And Buddha called it the immeasurable truth. The immeasurable truth is inside you. In Tibetan, it is said, Samkimicha Pichunya, means immeasurable truth. The immeasurable truth is the, what they call infinite, the absolute, the ineffable, the Brahman, the Dharmaka, and it lies in each of us right now. Right now, when I'm speaking to you, it lies inside you. Whether you're able to be fully aware of it or not, it doesn't really matter. But it's inside you, and it is who you are. And then there are veils, and many veils obscuring that ineffable inside you. There are many veils, pain, anger, delusion, your concept, the belief system that you have been accumulating since your child. All these are layers of veils. And constantly, day and night, obscuring that ineffable inside you. And yet, they're not who you are. They're not permanent. It's like the dust on the mirror. The dust on the mirror is not a permanent, it's simply a condition. It's like the cloud on the sky. It's a condition. And condition can be transcended and purified. So spiritual practice is all about purifying and transcending those temporary conditions veiling our true nature, the ineffable within you. So bodhicitta is like fire, burns all the veils. The veil is a little bit archaic metaphor. But if you use contemporary terminology, it's the defensiveness. So there are a lot of defensiveness right now, closing your heart. As I told you, even many of the spiritual believers and concepts that we are cherishing are just another form of defensiveness. And then finally, when you give yourself to the spirit of bodhicitta, then it becomes this divine fire. Just burns everything, destroys everything inside except your original face. Do you know that I said everything I need to say? Do you think I'm missing something? I don't think so. Do you think you haven't heard something? No, you have heard everything. And this is the open secret. And now you have heard the open secret. There's no more secret. Secret is completely open right now. It's quite liberating to realize that we heard everything we need to hear. One thing you don't have to worry if you're going to die or if I'm going to die, is a spiritual message, spiritual secret. You haven't missed anything. But you may worry about the fact that you haven't had some exotic brand of ice cream. This only thing I will be worrying if I'm going to die tonight. I may worry the fact that I haven't had a very exotic brand of ice cream that I haven't had. I may worry, I may have some kind of guilt, the fact I haven't been to Miami. Oh, I may have guilt or some kind of incompletion complex, the fact I haven't climbed top Mount Everest. Or the fact I have never learned how to ride a motorcycle. But the one last thing that I would worry about is a spiritual secret. I would not worry about, I would not have any incompletion complex, thinking that I missed something in spirituality. I haven't heard the great secret. Or I haven't heard the last message. I haven't heard, I heard all the 107 messages, but I missed the 108th message. And that would be my last or the least guilt. And that is true for all of you. So you heard everything. Do not tell me that you haven't heard something. Do not tell me that you have to keep walking and lost on the spiritual journey, and you have to meet the wise man and wise woman, and who's going to reveal the doorway to the secret. He's going to liberate you. Do not tell me that, because you know everything now that you need to know. So now I will ask you to go inside and do not try to understand anything. There's nothing to understand. There's really nothing to understand. There's so much to understand on the surface of spirituality, but when you reach the heart of spirituality, there's nothing to understand. On the surface of spirituality, there's so much to understand. Learning this and learning that and memorizing these concepts and acquiring in that profound thought system. There's so much to understand. But when you reach the very heart of spirituality, it's not about understanding or not understanding. Understanding and not understanding as the workings of the thinking mind, the conceptual mind. The conceptual mind can only get close to the truth, only close to the eternal freedom, but it never can experience it directly. So, in the heart of spirituality, there's nothing to understand. So let go of this whole idea that you have to understand something. Right now, this teaching does not offer you anything to be understood. There's nothing to understood in this teaching. It's like listening to a sound of river. There's nothing to understand. It's like looking into a flower. There's nothing to understand. When you walk on the beach, when you hear the sound of wave, I always use this as a metaphor, listen to it. Is there something to understand? Does wave give you concepts? Does wave offer you a knowledge, a thought system about how to live, what you should do, what you should not do, who you are, where you come from, where you are going? Does the sound wave offer you any sacred knowledge? Does one wave say, chicken comes before the egg? Another wave says, no, no, no. Egg comes before chicken. And there's a holy water between them, religious water between that wave and that wave. Because they both have doctrines now, and you become the follower of that doctrine. One wave says chicken comes before the egg, and other wave says no. The egg comes before the chicken. And there would be a whole school of thought. And they would never get along with each other. And who says the chicken comes before egg would have a primordial chicken. And they will build a huge statue of a giant chicken. And a thousand people will be bowing. Right in hemisphere, they are the giant chicken. And the school of thought who says the egg comes first will be spend millions of dollars building a golden egg. Of course, this is a joke. And this is about understanding. Understanding that chicken comes before egg. Understanding the egg comes before chicken. And mind fools itself, thinking that it arriving at some kind of clarity when it is so far from the clarity, when it is utterly lost in the sea of delusion and self-deception. So the spirit of bodhicitta is not about understanding. It's a feeling, it's a spiritual impulse. It's like love. Love is a feeling. There's nothing to understand. It's a compassion. There's nothing to understand. It's a communication between you and the Absolute. There's nothing to understand. So tonight, you come here, and because a crack happened in your consciousness. If there's a crack in the wall, eventually the wall will collapse. So there's a crack happened in the fortress of your heart, on your consciousness, and acknowledge it. This crack is going to keep getting bigger and bigger and turns into a divine doorway into the city of Nirvana. It will be a matter of time. So feel this deep longing. Don't you feel this deep longing? You know that it's happening already. And keep cultivating it, learning how to dive into it. Every morning, sit in silence and be still. And learning to dive into the sea of this profound longing. And every noon, remember to sit still. Make sure that no matter how busy you are, that you find a time to sit and be still, go inside. Allow yourself to be in touch with this deep longing and minister of all the other desire, longing, obsession, wanting this and that. And allow yourself to be blessed by the shower of that precious love, the divine love. And in the evening, before you go to bed, remember to sit still and feel their longing. And their longing is your longing to be awakened to who you are, to your original face, as well as your longing to hold the entire humanity, as well as the entire universe in your heart, and to wake them up. And now I invite all of you to chant this simple Buddhist mantra, which goes Om Gati Ngati Parangati Parasamgati Bodhisvaha. It means gone beyond completely. To the other shore, which is already here, and what awakening.
Bodhisattva.
Asha samaha. Thank you many, many hundreds times. Thank you for the invitation.